While they're exiting and the choir's being seated, let me just add my voice to Pastor Cameron's and Pastor Matt's voices earlier and just say, especially if you're a guest, we're so glad that you're here. My name is Bert Watts. I serve as a senior pastor here at Mountain Creek, and we're grateful that you can be here with us today. I also, like Matt, like Cameron, I would love to meet you. So hopefully after the service, I'll be here at the front, and I'd love to speak with you and again tell you thank you so much personally, just one-to-one, for coming to be here with us today. As you can tell, though, from the name that's listed on the bulletin there that you received when you came in, I did not expect to be preaching this morning. Today, originally, Dr. Tom Blackaby was scheduled to preach here. He spoke for our men this weekend at our men's retreat on Friday evening and Saturday morning. But while we were there yesterday, Dr. Blackaby received word that his father had passed away in Georgia. And so he left yesterday afternoon to go down to Jonesboro, Georgia, to be with his family. And he goes with our prayers. I want to invite you to pray for the Blackaby family. That would be Henry Blackaby, who passed away. Maybe you're familiar with the book Experiencing God. Henry's the author of that book. And so be praying for the Blackaby family. So I wasn't planning on preaching today. I was looking forward to hearing Tom again share with us. But I do believe that God has a word for us this morning. And God has a word for us from his word. That going on with the Blackaby family. Meanwhile, right here in our community, here this week, we have a university community that is hurting in the unexpected passing of a 21-year-old, I believe, student. So classmates and teammates and others at Furman University who are hurting, including members of our own church family, including also members of our church family who are serving there on the Furman campus in different ways, students and ministry leaders and others, coaches there on campus who are serving in different ways. We have a family here in our church who will be laying a mother and a grandmother to rest right here in this very room in about 4 hours from now, the Honeycutt family. I want to ask you to be praying for the family of Rob and Cheryl Honeycutt, Miss Linda Honeycutt, a member of this church who passed away this week, and her service today at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock time. You can stop by and visit with that family as well, but the 3 o'clock service for them. So be praying for the Honeycutt family and what they're facing, the Furman University community and what they're facing, and for you. Of course, it may not be a time like that. Could be for you that you're facing a new situation at work, something unexpected at work, and you know it's not going to be easy, and you need a word from the Lord today to face what you have to face this week to help you go through it. Or maybe you're facing uncertainty because of a strained relationship in your life, and there's something that's going on there, and someone who you used to count on doesn't seem as reliable anymore, and you need a promise from God to help you navigate that new reality in that relationship. Or maybe you're facing a future without someone, that has been beside you. Or maybe things are tight for you financially, or maybe you're stepping out and God has called you to a certain obedience, or maybe to a place of ministry, or maybe he's doing something in your heart and you're thinking about a ministry that God is calling you to do. Or our men who are with us this weekend, that thing of obedience that God is calling you to do that may be costly for you. This thing that God is calling us to step out and obey, and you need a promise from God. You need a word from the Lord, something that you can hold on to as you step out into the unknown. So we're going to see that today. A familiar verse for many of us maybe in this room. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. If you're grabbing one of those black pew Bibles, you'll find that on page 764. We're going to take a pause from the book of Luke today, and we're going to look at a promise that God gives to meet all of those needs and many more. And we're going to read this promise today. Just one verse, Isaiah 41, verse 10. But before I read this, I want you to remember. This is God speaking to you. This is God speaking to you. So if you're able, would you stand with me? Let's hear God's word. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the word of God. And the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. So, Father, this promise that you've given us, would you help it to not just be words on a page? We trust that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So would you sink it deep into our hearts across this room in each individual? You know what needs we have, and would you meet those by your promise today? Speak to us by your Spirit. Speak faithful. Help me to be faithful to speak your word to your people. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So in all of those areas that I just mentioned, and really more, of course, the question is this: how do we keep going, right? How do we follow God faithfully? How can we keep going, and how can we follow God faithfully in these areas? How are you going to keep going and follow God faithfully when you're facing life without your spouse who's been beside you for 50 years? How are you going to keep going and follow God faithfully when he's calling you to step out into something that's a little bit scary for you to do, something for you to follow him, some area of obedience that's just a little bit scary, and maybe it feels so uncertain for you? How are you going to keep going and follow God faithfully in that? How are you going to follow God faithfully when the world just seems to be falling down all around us? Isaiah 41 answers that question with this word for you today: follow God faithfully by focusing on God's faithfulness. You can follow God faithfully by focusing not on your faithfulness, by focusing on God's faithfulness. Not by trying extra hard to produce your own faithfulness, not by trying extra hard to prove your own faithfulness, not by focusing on others, not by proving yourself, not by focusing on anyone or anything other than God. We grow in faithfulness by remembering God's faithfulness to us. That's how we grow in faithfulness to God. Isaiah 41, verse 10 comes in three sections, so we're going to break it down in three sections, and each of those is calling us back to remember God's faithfulness. So here they are. Number one, we're going to grow in faithfulness. Number one, trust in God's presence. Trust in God's presence. So all over the Bible, we see this common theme that we're to fight fear with faith. We fight against fear with faith. Psalm 56, verse 3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in thee, right? When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. We're to fight fear with faith. And Isaiah 41, verse 10 adds to that, to specifically remember, specifically for us to think about, specifically trust, the object of our faith, we're to trust in God's presence. Trust in God's presence. He says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, for I am with you. So the fear that Isaiah is talking about here is the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of the future. The fear of what may come that I'm not expecting, the fear of what is uncertain, the fear of things outside our control. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 41 is coming in the early verses of God's word of comfort to his people. So if you go through the book of Isaiah, what you see is in the first 39 chapters, primarily is warning. God is warning his people against idolatry. God is warning his people against what will come if they continue in their disobedience against him. And specifically, he warns them that another country will come from the outside, and they're going to come in, and they're going to take over God's people, and they're going to send them away from their homes into exile. And that's the warning for 39 chapters of Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 40, so the chapter before what we just heard, God begins to give a word of comfort. He begins to give comfort, comfort to my people, he says. And he's speaking now in Isaiah 40 and afterwards to those who are in that situation. So he's giving a word now in the future for those who had been exiled. Just imagine what they would be facing. Imagine a nation coming in, a military coming in, and forcibly removing you from your home. And you take whatever belongings you can carry, and you have to travel, and you're forced by might to move into another land, a place that is not your home. And you leave everyone and everything behind, and you're now in this new land. Can you picture that? And the anxieties and the worries and the fears that would come, not just about the future, but even just about daily living. How am I going to make it? And that's the reality of the people that God is talking to. And he says to them, don't fear, for. And it's not because, listen, everything's going to be all right. It's not because you're going to be able to figure out how to fix this, you're going to make this right, and it's going to be okay. It's not because, listen, everybody has hard days. Don't fear, everybody's got hard days. The reality is for these people, the situation wasn't going to change. But they had God's presence, and that was enough. Do not fear, for I am with you. Literally, the wording there, the really literal, if you put it in its word order here from Hebrew, the literal wording is, do not fear, for with you I am. With you I am. Now, some of you are Star Wars fans, and you're kind of hearing Yoda, you know, like, with you I am, right? Don't hear Yoda. He's doing that for two reasons, I believe. He's emphasizing us, with you I am, with you. And with you, I am. You see, the one who is with you is the great I am. The one who's with you in whatever you're going through is the great I am. The one who is with you is the God who has committed himself to being with his people. The God who has committed himself to his people, to rescuing his people. The God who we know loved us so much that he sent his son, Emmanuel, God with us, to be with us, to rescue us, and then sent his spirit to dwell in us. God, the great I am, is with you. With you, I am. The three-in-one God, the creator, redeemer, restorer, the one who sits on the throne above all things, whatever you're going through, that one is with you. He's with you. So when you're stepping out in faith and you're going somewhere you've never gone in your walk with Christ, or when you're going through something you never wanted to go through, God is with you. God is with you. Do not fear. Do not fear. Trust in God's presence. Number two, focus on God's promise. Trust in God's presence and focus on God's promise. So look back down at verse 10 of Isaiah 41. He says, do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And now it's really easy to read that and think those are just synonymous, right? Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. And to be honest, that's really kind of just what I've always assumed as well until I started digging a little deeper. And what you find when you start to dig a little deeper here is that the root word that's translated as dismayed here is a word that really means to look around, to gaze about, to look around in dismay, to look around in anxiety, to look around in search of something else. And that's what we do when we start doubting, right? We start to look around. So you're on a boat and a storm comes. The winds pick up and the waves pick up. And suddenly this boat that you trusted in to keep you safe doesn't feel so safe anymore. And so you start looking around for a life preserver, right? You start looking around for something else. Or the company where you work starts bleeding money and they're doing some layoffs. And so what do? You go ahead and you start looking around and you're trying to find another job. You're trying to find somewhere to land. You're looking for something else. See, when we fear and when we doubt, we look around for something else. We look for alternatives. We try to find out something else that we can trust in, something else that's going to make us feel safe, feel secure, feel protected, feel like we're going to be able to face whatever it is that's coming. We start to look for other things. And God says, when you're facing fear and when you're facing doubt and when you're facing worry about what's to come, what you're going through, don't look around. Don't look around at other things. Don't try to find your escape route, and don't try to find another path that you can go down. Don't look around for other things. Don't look anywhere else. God says, no, stay looking at me. Stay focused on me because I'm God. He says, because I'm God. He says, because I am your God. I'm your God. He's saying, follow me faithfully by staying focused on me. I am your God. What you see when you stay focused on God, when you stay focused on God, what you see is that God's focused on you. He's focused on you. He's your God. He's calling us back to remember our relationship with Him. And it's a covenant relationship. God has entered into this covenant relationship with us all along the way in the Bible. All along the way in the Bible. You see it in Exodus. You see it in Leviticus. You see it in Jeremiah. You see it in Ezekiel. You see it in Zechariah. You see it in 2 Corinthians. You see it in the book of Hebrews. You see it in the book of Revelation. All along the way in the Bible, you see this promise that God is making to His people. I will be their God and they will be my people. It's the language of covenant. I'm going to unite myself to them in such a way. I'm going to live in a relationship with them. I'm going to be committed to them and stay faithful to them. It's this promise that God is making that He'll be united to His people. And that's what He's getting at here. Remember, I'm your God. I'm committed to you. That's the promise, this covenant bond of relationship. And far more than Israel knew, we know because of Jesus. We know because of Christ. We've seen how far God would go to keep that faithfulness. When we were unfaithful, He sent His Son. He sent Christ. And what God's Word tells us is that the sin that we carry, so we talked about this in our Sunday school earlier today. What's going to keep you separated from God? What can keep you separated from God? Sin. What kind of sin? The really bad ones? All sin, but specifically unforgiven sin. That's it. Unforgiven sin will keep you separated from God. Listen, it's going to keep you separated from God right now, and you need to know unforgiven sin will keep you separated from God for all eternity. But here's what God did for you in Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, He canceled the record of debt that stood against us. That record of that sin that we've committed, He canceled that record that stood against us. How did He do it? By nailing it to the cross. In Colossians 1, what it says was through that he took us and He transferred us from the domain of darkness and He brought us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. So all the sin is forgiven. All of the sin of all the people of God is all the way forgiven. It's forgiven. And now you've been brought into His kingdom and He's committed to you. You're His people. We're His people, and He's our God. And we can count on that because He bought that at the price of the blood of His Son. We're His people, and He's our God. So don't look around to other things. Don't look around to anything. Why would you look anywhere else when the Creator and the ruler of the universe says, I got you. I'm your God. Don't look around to anything else. That's what He's saying here in Isaiah 41. Look up at verse 1. In Isaiah 41, he's talking there. He's calling everybody to a courtroom scene in verse 1, and He reminds them, verse 2, of what's going on in the world. Nations are invading. Kings are being trampled. Everything seems like it's going off the rails. Kind of sounds like 2024, by the way. And God says, verse 4, who's at work behind the scenes of all this? God says, I am. He says, I, the Lord, the first. He says, I'm the first, and I'm with the last. You feel least and lowly. God says, I'm with the last. I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He So in verse 5, he says that the nations are afraid. The people who don't trust in God, they're afraid of all that's going on, the uncertainty of the world. And so they start to say to one another, be strong. Right? Verse 6, they start to say to one another, just be strong. It's just kind of the power of positive thinking. And so to help themselves, they start making these idols, these false gods, to make them feel better. That's verse 7. But that's not how it should be for God's people. Verse 8, God reminds them. He reminds us, I've brought you to myself. I've called you to me. So fear not, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. Don't look around anywhere else, for I am your God. And when these things come in life, grief or loss or fear or concern or uncertainty about what it looks like to follow God and whatever he's calling you to, when those times come in life, God is saying to us, don't look around anywhere else. Look to me. Look to Jesus. I'm your God and I'm committed to you. I've come for you in Christ. I've sent my spirit to be in you. Don't look anywhere else. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Don't look around. Follow God faithfully by focusing on God's faithfulness to you. That's what he's telling us. Number 3, be strengthened by God's power. Be strengthened by God's power. Trust in his presence. Focus on his promises. Don't look around anywhere else. And be strengthened by God's power. So I grabbed my leaf blower a couple days ago on Friday. I was going to blow out some of the leaves that had come into my garage when the doors were opened. And so I grabbed the leaf blower and I grabbed the battery and I plugged it in and I flipped the switch and nothing happened, right? The battery that I thought was charged was in fact empty, and so it was useless. It couldn't do what I needed it to do. It was powerless. And that's what it looks like when we look to anything else other than Jesus. That's what it looks like. If you look to anything else to give you strength, you're trying to find power in something that's ultimately powerless. You're trying to find power in something that's ultimately powerless. That's the problem of these false gods that they're making. It's almost humorous in verse 7. The craftsman is strengthening the goldsmith, he who smooths the hammer. So they're making these idols right here. So the craftsman is strengthening the goldsmith. The one who smooths with the hammer is strengthening him who strikes with the anvil. So they're kind of telling each other, hey, this thing that we're doing is okay. Look, we're making this little god. Everything's going to be okay. This little god's going to take care of us. He's going to protect us, and it's going to be okay. But it's just foolishness. It's foolishness. Look at this god that we're making. He's going to protect us. It's foolishness. Verse 7 says that they're saying of their creation, it is good, and they strengthen it with nails so that it cannot be moved. So they're taking this little idol that they made, and they realize it's going to fall over. We're not careful, so let's just drive a little nail here. We'll drive a little nail there. And look, we got it propped up. It's going to be strong, and it'll take care of us. This little thing that I had to prop up is somehow going to prop me up. It's foolishness. And we do the exact same thing, guys. We do the same thing anytime we trust in anything else to hold us up. We do the same thing. When life gets crazy and we look somewhere else, when we think that some kind of self-help book is going to give us what we need, when we think that all we need is just a new credit card and everything's going to be all right, when we think that if I just got in this relationship with this person, then everything's going to be okay. Or that thing that lady's selling online, if I just get that thing and I bring it over here to my life, then everything, if I get that thing over here that I saw in that store and add that to my life, if I get that new car or that new house or whatever it is and add it to my life, if I get that thing, then everything's going to be okay. And God says, don't find your strength in anything else. Don't find your strength in anything else. Find your strength in me. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will, I will, I will. He's committed to this. He's committed to this. He's committed to you. God is saying to you this morning, February 11th, 2024. Went back in time right there. I got to wake y'all up. God is saying the same thing to you this morning, whatever year it is. He's saying the same thing to you that he said to Joshua. He's saying it to you. He's saying the same thing to you that he said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. We'll put it up for you on the screen. God said to Joshua there, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And that's what he's saying to you today. He's with you wherever you go. He's going to strengthen you wherever you go, all the way through your journey and all the way until you see him face to face. I was reminded of that about 9 months ago. The same promise of Isaiah 41 verse 10 we see repeated again in Isaiah 41 verse 13. We'll put it on the screen for you. "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I'm the one who helps you." Think about when you grab hands with someone else. When do you hold hands with someone else? When you're walking in the park with someone you love, or when you're afraid, and when you're uncertain, you're with the one you love, but you're facing some uncertainty, and so you grab hands, husband and wife walking hand in hand into the future. I remember when Stephanie and I were dating, and we were walking in the woods, and we were going to have a picnic. We were going to have a picnic in a meadow at the top of the mountain. I was romantic back in my day. And we're walking up the trail until we hear something moving in the woods. And I tell Stephanie, "Stay right here. I'm going to go around the curve and I'm going to see what it is." And Stephanie grabbed my hand. I thought she was going to break every bone in it. And hand in hand, we walked around that curve and we found ourselves just a few yards away from a black bear. And hand in hand, we backed up around that curve. And hand in hand, we ran down that mountain. And God says, "I, the Lord, hold your right hand." When Stephanie held my hand, we had to run away. But when you hold God's hand, you can face whatever may come. Let me rephrase that. When God holds your hand, you can face whatever may come. The point is, he's that close to you. He stands beside you all the way to the end. 9 months ago, the last time I heard her speak, Joan Rainey quoted those words to me from memory. It was 1 week before she would pass away. She knew it was coming. She was in a hospital bed in her living room, and she held her right hand up, and she said, "For I, the Lord thy God, hold thy right hand." And she knew it, and she believed it, and she was facing whatever may come, because she knew God was upholding her and God was holding her right hand. Even as she faced death, she knew God held her. Listen, you can follow God faithfully by focusing on God's faithfulness to you all the way to the end, and then you'll see him face to face. Whatever it is that you're facing today, it is God who says, "Fear not, I'm the one who helps you." And it is God who holds your right hand. And it is God who helps you, and it is God who strengthens you, and it is God who is with you. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And non-Christian with us today, I want you to know that I'm glad you're here, and I want you to know that this promise, this promise is not for the good people. This promise is what we saw last week, right? This promise is for anybody who recognizes their need. Anybody who recognizes their need. God doesn't say, "If you clean yourself up and then I'll be ready to hold your hand." No, Jesus spent time with the worst of the worst. And he wants to spend time with you. If you recognize your need, you're halfway there. All you need to do is trust in Christ. Look to him and be saved. And this promise is for you if you trust in him. So when we're done today, you find Pastor Matt, you find Pastor Cameron, you find me. You come in the front while we're singing this song. You come find us after the service is over. Say, I'm a little bit hesitant about doing that. All right, the QR code at the top of the back of the bulletin. You can sign up from the weekly email from that QR code. But you can also just put in there, I'd like to meet with the pastor. I want to talk with somebody about trusting in Christ. Let us know. We'd love to talk with you. You do that today. His promise is for you, and it's for all who recognize their need. And he's with you, church, and you can follow him faithfully because he's faithful to you. Worship team, would you come up and lead us? And they're going to lead us in a final song.